Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 46. Now, in our study of the life of Joseph, in the last few weeks, we've seen how Joseph has revealed himself to his brethren. They did not know who he was when they first appeared before him. And then when he revealed himself, oh my, they knew who he was. They knew who he was. And what a clear picture that is, how the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself to us, to his people. And last week we looked at how Israel, Jacob, took a journey down to Egypt. Let's read verses 1 to 7 of Genesis chapter 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. So take note of the next two verses, the promises of divine presence. The promises of divine presence and protection from our great God. And note, as we see, three times God tells Israel in the next two verses, I will, I will. And remember, who's saying I will is God Almighty. Right? It's Jehovah, the self-existent one. And our Lord, beloved, our Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Never. His people, never. And this is true of God's people of all ages. This is not just a promise to Israel, but this is what God says to his people. Says this to his people. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And then look at verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Never forget the Lord's with us. Never forget. He's right. He's with his people. Always. He goes before us, beloved. He goes before us. I will go down with thee into Egypt. I will also surely bring thee up again. Well, he's going to be with us, isn't he, all through this life. And then he's going to take us to glory, beloved. For I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Joseph's going to close his eyes in death. Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Now Jacob was 130 years old when he made the trip from Canaan down to Egypt. And we see there's no mention made of his wives. We know that Rachel had died giving birth to Benjamin. And some commentators believe that Leah is not mentioned, nor his two concubine wives, Bilhah and Zilpha, because they had probably died by this time as well. And take note, all of Jacob's sons, their wives, and all their children are not only mentioned in verses 8 to 27, the names of the men are recorded in the verses that follow, so that we see all in all, counting Joseph and his two sons, 70 Israelites, all of Jacob's seed, come down to live in the land of Egypt. And always keep in mind that this was ordained by God. This was God's eternal purpose at work. He had told Abraham before Isaac and Jacob were born that his seed, Abraham's seed, would go down into the land of Egypt and become slaves to the Egyptians. But they would be delivered by the mighty hand of God. And we see then that Jacob's son took all their cattle, their livestock, and their worldly possessions, all that they could carry, and they went down into Egypt. Now verses 8 to 27 give all the names of Jacob's son and grandsons. I'll leave that to you for reading, if you would like. And we'll study verses 28 to 34 of Genesis chapter 46, where we will see Jacob and Joseph reunited face to face. Face to face. Let's look at verse 28 to 34. And he sent Judah, Jacob being sent Judah, or Israel, sent Judah before unto him, unto Joseph, to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren in my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have bought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say to you, What is your occupation? Then ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle for our youth until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. What a day. What a day it will be for we who are the born-again people of God. What a day it'll be when we see our Lord face to face. What a day that'll be. It'll be a day of immeasurable joy. Face to face. Face to face to see Him. To see Him who died on Calvary's cross for us. Face to face, what a day that'll be to see our Redeemer. To see the one who's loved us from eternity. To see the one who's loved us so much that he went to the cross and died for us. Purchasing his blood-bought bride. Look at verse 28. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face into Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. We see that Jacob sent Judah to represent him. Jacob sent Judah to represent him and his family before Joseph. Again, all this was according to the sovereign purpose of God. As of all the sons of Jacob, Judah was the one who was best suited to be Jacob's representative. Judah had a more gentle, loving spirit about him, as we've seen in our studies. Listen to what John Gill brings forth about him. Judah had endeared himself to Joseph by his speech to him, in which he discovered so much affection both to his father and his brother Benjamin, and was upon all accounts the fittest person to be sent to Joseph. Remember, Judah was the one who said, Keep me. Keep me. Don't bring my father down to the grave by keeping Benjamin. And it was Judah that spake. If you turn over a couple chapters to verse 16, look at Genesis chapter 44, verse 16. And Judah said, What shall we say unto thee, unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Oh, how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out our iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also whom the cup is found. Oh my. So Judah was the spokesman for his brethren, even then. And Judah was sent to Joseph. He was sent to Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. That is to inform Joseph of Jacob and his family's arrival. And not only would this announce to Joseph that Jacob was entering into the land of Goshen, but it would also give Joseph the needed time to prepare the right place in Goshen for Jacob and his family to dwell. And note, they came into the land of Goshen. John Gill brings forth that this was the first land of Egypt on their way from Canaan. The nearest to the land of Canaan. And one can only imagine how Israel felt as he waited for that exciting moment to finally see his son again. He thought he was dead. For years he thought he was dead. And what an exciting, the excitement would be building up inside him. It being the first time in many, many years that he would get to gaze upon Joseph. All the while again thinking that his son had been ripped apart by wild animals. Over 22 years had passed. Could you imagine not seeing your son for 22 years, or your brother, or your mom and dad for 22 years? Thinking they were dead and all the time they were alive. 22 years had passed since they'd last seen each other. And they were soon to see each other face to face. By the divine sovereignty of our great God. So imagine the excitement. Imagine the joy that was bubbling up inside of Israel. In not just his heart, but in Joseph's too. In the anticipation that they would see each other face to face. They probably couldn't wait until the time that they would see each other face to face. Let's read verse 29 with that in mind. We see Jacob and Joseph, they meet face to face for the first time in over 20 years. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. They wept. Tears of joy, beloved. Tears of joy. Joseph had his chariot ready to go. He had his chariot ready to go, beloved. And we see that he traveled up to where his father was in Goshen. And think upon this, beloved of God. When our Lord allows us the honor of meeting together for public worship, it's like a family reunion, isn't it? We get together. We're family in Christ. We're one in Christ. We're here for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a family reunion. And even though it's only a week in between, or a few days in between when we meet midweek, it's still a great blessing to see God's people, isn't it? We desire and we look forward to gathering together. It's our oasis. Because we're going to look at this. This is the inn. We're going to look at this morning's message. The Lord's brought us to the best inn. And that's the church where we can hear the gospel preached and proclaimed. And you know why? You know why we have to keep hearing the gospel? I was talking to young Jacob about this week. You know why we have to keep hearing the gospel? Because we so soon forget his blessings. He's like, Wayne, all these blessings I have in my life and all these blessings I have every day. And I said, we're so forgetful, aren't we? That's why, beloved, we as God's sheep have to keep coming to hear the gospel, to be reminded, isn't it? It's the same message, just coming from different texts, beloved. Right? It really is. The message is all about Christ. But that's what we as God's people, that's what we desire to hear. Right? And God sends a man to preach and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gets filled studying, and the Lord's people get filled and edified and built up through the preaching of the Word and reminded once again of the great things that the Lord has done for us. It's wondrous. And we never grow tired of hearing it, do we? We never grow tired. It's like, I want more. Oh, and it's wondrous. It's wondrous each time we hear it. Each time we hear it, it's wondrous. So Joseph, he had his chariot ready. He is ready to travel. And again, think of the honor we have of meeting every week. We meet together each week, and we speak face to face. Saw John and Tim sitting there earlier today just chatting. And isn't it wonderful? You get to meet face to face and talk and fellowship. We fellowshipped earlier. We just get to sit and talk. How was your week? Well, it was great. Right? And we every week. But then what's most important and why we're here is the preaching of the gospel. Preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want to hear too. So what a blessing it is that not only do we get to meet face to face, but we get to hear the gospel preached and proclaimed every week. And can you imagine? I bet you that chariot didn't even come to a stop. I bet you Joseph leapt out of that chariot. I could just see him. It doesn't say that, but could you? You know, that's my own speculation. But I imagine he. I would have jumped right out of there. Oh, my. My, oh, my. And then could you imagine when he first laid eyes on his father? When he saw his father. Could you imagine Israel laying eyes on Joseph? Could you imagine? Oh, they've been weeping tears of joy. Tears of joy. And then tears, they just flow, wouldn't they? They just flow. Israel thought his son was dead. Israel thought his son was dead. Now he finds out he's alive. And now he has the honor of seeing him face to face, embracing him. Embracing him. Oh, my. Oh, my beloved. And could you imagine Joseph? Joseph's very thankful to our great God that his dad didn't die. That he gets to see his dad face to face. Oh, my. And we see that the words they spake to each other are not recorded. Are not recorded. But we know from the text that their emotions were flowing. Their emotions were flowing. Joseph fell on Israel's neck and wept. Just wept on his neck, and it says for a good while. You ever seen someone you hadn't seen in ages, and you go see them and you're weeping with them and tears of joy? Oh my. Your hearts are overflowing with love for each other. Oh, they embraced each other for a good while. They were filled with a love that only a father and son could know, could possibly understand. Now, beloved of God, let us never forget that this was recorded for our learning. This is recorded for our learning, to manifest our Heavenly Father's love for us. His love for us. Have you ever thought about the love the Lord Jesus Christ has for you, the love the Father has for you? It would bring tears to your eyes. Love with an eternal love, unmerited, undeserved, loved by the Father freely, sovereignly. My. Imagine what a day it'll be when we see our Savior face to face. The moment we breathe our last breath here. Imagine what that'll be like when we're ushered into glory. And when we see the one who was pierced for us. When we see the one who gave his life for us. When we see the one who's loved us with an eternal love. Imagine what a day that'll be for us. Oh my. Look at verse 30. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Thou art yet alive. We see that Joseph rejoiced to see his son, whom he had thought had died. He'd been deceived by his other sons. He'd been deceived by them. And we see in this verse, in these verses actually, that Israel was expressing great joy at seeing his son Joseph. And we see that he brings forth with his words that should he have died right then, he'd have been filled with joy at the sight of seeing his son. Seeing his son who he thought was dead. But he was yet alive. He was yet alive. And you know, Joseph and Israel had another 17 years together by the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? By By the grace of God, they had another 17 years together. And what a joyful... Do you think how joyful that must have been? That must have been sweet times. Must have been very sweet time for them to have together. My. Oh, we see the words here of Jacob. Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And we're reminded again of a man who we read in Scripture. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're reminded of a man in Scripture. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. A man named Simeon. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. The Lord had told Simeon he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Christ. Look at this, verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, according to what you said, Lord. For mine eyes have seen, what? Thy salvation. His eyes, beloved, have seen the salvation of the Lord. He's gazed upon the Messiah. He's gazed upon the Messiah, beloved, which thou hast prepared. It's all planned and purposed by God before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, praise be to God, and the glory of thy people Israel. So that's Jew and Gentile right there. That's Jew and Gentile. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And it's all prepared by God. And remember too, this meeting between Joseph and Jacob or Israel, it's a divine appointment. It's planned and purposed by God, right? The Lord's taken his people down to Egypt where he's going to deliver them with a mighty hand. Now let's read verses 31 to 34 of Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46, verses 31 to 34. Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. So Joseph's going to go before them. Who went before us, beloved? Who's in glory right now before us? The Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Joseph. He's gone to the king, hasn't he? And he's mediating for us. Oh my, what great pictures we see in Scripture. I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have bought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So when we consider these verses spiritually, these verses teach us of the separation of God's people from the people of the world. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Look at this. 2 Corinthians. There's definitely a separation between God's people and the people of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. Look at these words. Second Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. Speaking of God's people. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So that's a warning. That's a warning for God's people. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, which is an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, look at this, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. So we see a separation there between God's people and the people of the world. And it clearly says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The unbeliever will never add anything to the believer, but he or she will take away from the believer. Huh? It happens. Look at that. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So in these verses of Scripture, even in Genesis, back in Genesis, in the verses of Scripture, we see where Joseph told his brethren that he would go before them and speak to Pharaoh on their behalf. And we see that he instructed them as to what they should say and how they should conduct themselves before Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh had already accepted Jacob and his family for Joseph's sake. Right? And Pharaoh had already told Joseph that his family could dwell in the land of Goshen. But now that they had arrived, it was needful for Joseph to speak to Pharaoh again, informing him of the things concerning his father Israel and all his family. And it was necessary for Israel and Joseph's brothers to appear before Pharaoh to speak for themselves, and we see that shepherds were an abomination unto the Egyptians. They were an abomination unto the Egyptians. We'll look at that a little bit more next week, where we see Joseph's brothers, they do not try to hide the fact of their occupation, because Joseph told them, don't hide what you are. They openly confessed to Pharaoh that they were shepherds. And we see that they do it willingly. Now consider this, beloved of God. And consider this. Consider the separation, right? The Egyptians, the Israelites are told to go to the land of Goshen. They're going to be given the land of Goshen to dwell in. They are separate. They're still in Egypt, right? They're still in the nation of Egypt. But they're separate from the Egyptians. We're still in this world, beloved. Right? Which Egypt's a picture of. But we're separated. We're separated by God. We're an ecclesia, which means a called out assembly. A called out assembly. That's what we are, beloved, as believers. We're called out of the world, aren't we? We're still in the world. We still have to deal with the world. We still have to deal with our own sin. Right? But praise be to God, we're saved. We're called out. We're a called out people by the Holy Spirit of God, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we still live in the land of Egypt, don't we? We still live in this world, beloved. Oh, my. And consider this again, as I mentioned earlier, our heavenly Joseph, he's already entered into the presence of the King. He's already entered into the presence of the King to appear in the presence of God for us. For us. He's already pleaded our cause before God Almighty. And our Heavenly Father has already accepted us in Christ. In Christ. all mine. Even though he knows that all of us are in our unregenerate state, an abomination to him, right? Yet we are accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in the Beloved. My. And each of God's people, by God-given faith, must bow down to God our Father, right? We bow down to God our Father. My. And we confess. What do we confess? We confess that we're hell-deserving sinners, don't we? We confess we're hell-deserving sinners, but God's had mercy on us in Christ. Oh, my. And we confess that everything in us in our natural state is an abomination to God. We're just sinners to the core. Somebody doesn't admit they're a sinner who confesses to be a believer, then they got a problem. Because we're sinners. We're sinners. Now we're saved sinners. Praise be to God. Oh my, it's wonderful. And no wonder the Apostle Paul wrote this, for I know that is in that in me, meaning his flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's a saved man writing that. Dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's a man with a civil war going on, isn't it? Just like us. And he turns right to Christ, doesn't he? He says, I have victory in Christ. Victory in him. You know, God strips us of all our sinful, foolish pride, doesn't he? Oh my. He gives us a new heart that moves us to humble ourselves before God, to bow our knee before God. We, in our natural state, we said, we're not have this man rule over us. And now we say, oh Lord, oh Lord, you are King. And we bow to him willingly, don't we? Willingly. With a true, sincere, heartbroken confession before him. We cry out with the publican, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And we cry that out to our Heavenly Father. Look at verse 6 of this Genesis. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 47. Look at this. We'll look at this more next week, but look at this. Genesis 47, verse 6. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell, and if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. Oh my. Think upon this, beloved. Before we can worship God in peace of conscience and liberty of heart, we must know upon the authority of God's word and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that the entire question of our sin, the entire question of our sin is forever settled by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Trusting only in him as our divine sin offering. And we must know that all the demands of our soul, all the demands for the ransom of our souls, and all the necessities to redeem our souls have been forever, forever, forever fulfilled in the sacrifice of Christ. Fulfilled, beloved. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. And oh, how this gives us peace. And the enjoyment of that peace as we walk through this world. We worship our great God. He's our Savior is the perfect sacrifice. The perfect man. Praise his mighty name. And he gave his life. If you're one of his people, he gave his life for you. Praise his mighty name.